In those days, Samuel lived before Samuel was born. There was a real spiritual barrenness throughout the whole of Israel. In those days, the word of God, the Bible says, was rare. There were not many visions. The lamp of God had gone out in Israel. Eli, the anointed priest at Shiloh, lost his anointing for failing to discipline his two sons, who became priests set there by Eli. God, who looks on our motives, will always grant the requests of our hearts. At that time, there was young Hannah. She was married to a man called Elkanah. Hannah was barren. And she went to the Lord, seeing the barrenness of Israel, seeing the spiritual depravity of Israel. She prayed and she asked God for a son. An impossible request, because she was not able to have any children until then. And at that request, God, in the most wonderful way, blessed Hannah. So she was able to give the best gift ever. Not for herself, but a gift asked for God Himself.
Please do stand if you're able.
I wanted us to sing that. As a little boy in the Methodist Sunday school, I don't know why, but I was asked a few times to sing that as a solo, going back a few years. I suppose because of that, it's always been there in my heart. And I praise and thank God for the way He has led me over the years in ministry. And in relationships, God is so good. How wonderful it is to serve the Lord God Almighty. Yeah. Hannah saw that poor Israel needed a deliverer. A national rot had set into Israel. The priesthood was separated from God, and even God was silent in all Israel. Anna received the little fellow. He was born a real gift of God. She named him Samuel, meaning heard of God. Heard of God. In 1 Samuel 1 verse 22, it says, after 3 years of loving this little baby, that's all she had, 3 years. Being able to cuddle him and mother him, she gave him then to the Lord after he had been weaned. And she said, I give my gift to God for the rest of his life. Wouldn't that be wonderful, you know, if we did that with some of our children as well? Set them on a right path. Well, dear Samuel left us a legacy to follow. I ran a youth work, and we couldn't afford in our church to pay for campaigners. It was campaigners, yeah. So we decided, well, we'll just start our own. We'll call it Champions. And of course, all the kids' stories about all the characters in the Bible, you know, they're all wonderful champions for us to grasp hold of, enjoy their character and follow their lead as well, the way they lived before God, and most of all, the way they ended before God should be the thing that directs us. Samuel grew in favor of both God and man. The same words that is referred to by Luke to Jesus. Jesus also grew in favor with God and with men. What a youngster. What a young boy. Before Samuel knew God's voice, God called him. God is always looking for those who are willing to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. And poor Samuel didn't even know God's voice. He went to Eli. On two occasions, he went to Eli. You called me. No, I didn't call you, said Eli. Go and sleep. And the third time, or rather, when he went back to Eli, Eli said, no, this is God. God is wanting to speak to you. So say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. It's difficult to know God's voice. You know, I heard a lot of people say to me over the years, it's all right for you. You're a Christian. You're a minister. Yeah. You know, God speaks to you. It's not like that. I know of times when there's absolute silence. When God seems to be, it seems to be concrete over me, over you, sometimes like that. But as we seek the Lord, oh, God is willing to talk to us, willing to reveal himself to us, willing to lead and to guide us, because he doesn't look on what we're saying, but he looks at the heart. Where is our heart for God? Well, Samuel thought it was Eli the three times, but then he opened his heart and said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And God gave him instruction about Eli and his family and the end of Eli near. In chapter 3, verse 20 of 1 Samuel, all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized God's anointing upon Samuel. He was God's approved prophet. We also see in chapter 7, verse 2 to 4, his role as a prophet over Israel was to restore Israel back to God. Oh, you know, what a heart that wants to do something like that. Not in this. In this, recently we lost a dear man, George Verwer, a man anointed of God in the most wonderful way, an ordinary man, yeah, and yet in God an extraordinary man. George Verwer's main office was right in London, where I was pastor of a church. In London, and he would invite all the ministers in the area over, and we'd go there for a little conference, and he just had us there, he would come and he would speak to us, and of always he gave us a vision. Yeah, God has called us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, George was finished with you, there was no way you just thought of you know, your little patch. No, you saw things through God's eyes. The whole world was God's little patch. And that's where we were called, to go to the whole world. I remember he would say, he'd have all the books, you know, laid out, loads of books. And he'd look at us and he'd say, listen, I says, I want to give you a gift. He says, help yourself to 10 books. And all of us as ministers, you know, some got from the church a little fund whereby they were able to buy books, but most ministers didn't get that. And so it was so nice to be able to go and choose books that we so longed for and were able to have. An extraordinary man, a man with a vision, a man that God had spoken to over the years. Well, that's dear George. But Samuel was a man like that. He saw Israel as God's anointed, God's people, God's calling upon Israel. And his heart's desire was to see his people back again under God's authority, God's kingship, God's leadership. We're living in days right now where we see so many people away from God. Churches closing. Right now we're looking for a minister. And we've been told that there are not many entering training for the ministry. The colleges are not being filled as they have been in the past. How we need to be praying as a people of God. How we need to be on our knees, like Samuel, seeing the things that displease the Lord, seeing the things that break his heart, and yearning to see it put right. Oh, that we may, you know, I came here to England simply because of the folk who taught me the Word of God were those English people back home in Rhodesia, southern Rhodesia. My Sunday school teachers. I remember digging the foundation of the little church that we were in, the Methodist church, and in front of me was my neighbor, dear Ma Skumon. She was at that stage, she was in her middle 60s, and she was with a pick in front of me, digging the foundation. I was behind her with a shovel. I was only a youngster. I don't think I was teen yet, and digging there. But we wanted to see our little village, come to faith. We wanted to see people going to worship God on a Sunday. We wanted to see faith being worked out in our local community. Yes. Oh, that we keep that vision going. Always looking to see God's heart being blessed. Always looking to see God's face, wanting to see a smile on his face as people turn back to God. And they are brought back to God simply because we prayed, simply because we acted on God's leading and guiding in our lives. Samuel's role was to restore Israel back, heightened with the Philistines came to attack Israel. Yes, Samuel, the people of Israel, they were having a service. And Samuel was praying for Israel. And as he was in prayer there for Israel, suddenly the Philistines are upon them, ready to attack them. The Bible says that Samuel offered a young lamb to God. And God responded with a loud thunder against the Philistines. So loud that it threw all the Philistines into panic. And they were stunned before Israel. Israel won the victory because God had begun the battle for them. God was in it with them. Samuel had brought Israel again to that place where God was responding to their call and their needs. Oh, how lovely to be in that place where we see God answering prayer, where we see God dealing with us in our lives, where we are blessed by God, where people around us recognize God and receive the Lord, respond to his call. Second thing I saw there was Eli. He steered Israel from a theocratic rule to monarch rule. Yeah, they asked for a king. God was their king. But they said, we want to be like other nations. We want a king to ride before us when we go into battle. They were no longer willing to walk by faith. And it came against Samuel's, it grated against Samuel's heart. He hated the thought of the people of God turning the kingship of God from the Lord God Almighty to an ordinary man. Sometimes we want what everybody else has, but it may not be good for us, you know. Sometimes It's good just to let God be God. Let him give what he wants to give us and be satisfied. Well, Samuel prayed for the people of Israel. He was faithful in praying for the nation. And he led them to receive a king eventually. Thirdly, I saw that Samuel's role and achievement, he kept in contact with all Israel. The Bible says that he used to go on a circuit run every year. The Bible says that he used to go from Bethel to Gilgal and then to Mizpah, the corners of the whole of Israel. And he would there preach to Israel, teach them and judge them. So that yearly he was in contact with the whole of the country. What a ministry. What a man of God. It reminded me so much of dear John Wesley. In Guernsey, where we lived, and I was really surprised, there was a little stone on the corner of three roads meeting together. And on the stone is a little plaque. Here stood John Wesley preaching to the island. And you know, wherever you go throughout the whole of UK, the United Kingdom, you find somewhere where John Wesley's influence has left a mark, a legacy. Praise God. Oh, men with vision. God's not finished with us. There's still today in our children, in our young people, in some of us. God wants to use us. God wants to call us into his service. Also, we find that we are accountable to God and his people. A man of great integrity was Samuel, willing to repent of any wrong that he might have done. Imagine that, eh? At the end of his ministry, he stands up and he says, I am here like you. I am under your judgment as I'm under God's judgment. Speak up now. Have I taken any of your cattle? Have I taken any of your sheep? Is there anything that I have withheld from you and taken a bribe instead? And they turned around, they said, no, you've taken nothing. You've never oppressed us. What a testimony, eh? I remember my last, when I left one church and in the move to another church, this was a message that really was on my heart. How wonderful at the end of our days to look back and be able to say, Lord, or yeah, to hear not only the people that we've lived with and worked with, saying, you've been faithful. But one day to hear those wonderful words of Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words more than anything else. Find that also he was a witness. He always shared his testimony about God. Wherever he went, he was faithful in speaking up what God has done for Israel. He never held back. He was an anointed man of God. I love this story here. When he gave them a king, he says, now stand back. I want you to see what you have done. The Bible says, stand still and see the great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Though it is a harvest time now, I will call on the name of the Lord to send thunder and rain. The same day the Lord sent thunder and rain so that all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. They asked for prayer because they had added to their sins by asking for a king. It's so wonderful when we are so open to the Lord. And sometimes just by what we say and the way we are, and live leads people to repentance and back to God. Oh, that our lives may be a testimony for God. In conclusion, Isaiah 66 verse 2 says this: God said to Isaiah, "This is the one I esteem. He who humbles himself and is contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Who is the man that I will esteem? The man who humbles himself before me, who is contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. That was Samuel's life. That was Samuel's life. I just conclude with that lovely hymn that we sang. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, the open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer at thy call and to obey thee first of all. Oh, give me Samuel's heart, a lowly heart that waits, wherein thy house thou art, or watches at thy gates. By day and night, a heart that moves at the breathing of thy will. Oh, give me Samuel's mind, a sweet, unmurmuring faith, obedient and resigned to thee in life and death, that I may read with childlike eyes truths that are hidden from the wise. God has led me a long way from home, and I'm so grateful for the time I said, here I am. The battle in my life is being faithful to the end. Will you, at the end of your life, and I, be able to say, is there anything that I have taken from you that I should not? Anything I have harmed or hindered your life? Oh, may the Lord always lead us, that wherever we are, we always live with a clear conscience, that one day we may hear those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The Lord bless you and keep you faithful in your walk and in your call. May the Lord just bless us in every way as we wait on him. Amen.